Your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, we're going to begin at verse 26, looking at the Ethiopian eunuch today. Story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And I want to talk to you about this subject, how to bring joy to the world. That's what the world needs right now, isn't it? I remember when I was a teenager, maybe before I was a teenager, I think I was probably 11 or 12, and I remember, I don't know if I got it for my birthday or for Christmas, but I remember I got a yellow plastic transistor radio. Remember, I had to pull the antenna out so it would get reception from KOMA. I don't know if any of you know. That's the big radio station in Moore, Oklahoma. Used to be anyway, and it's still there. It's something else, I think. But anyway, it's the one they broadcast the rock and roll music on back then. And I remember the first song I ever heard, at least, that's as I remember it. Sometimes reality and my memory aren't the same thing, but I remember hearing "Joy to the World." I'm not going to sing it. All the boys and girls, all joy to the fishes in the deep blue sea, joy to you and me. That great theological band that sang that, wouldn't quote too much more of it or I'd be in trouble. Well, that song never brought a whole lot of joy to the world. It might have brought some joy during the song and while people were singing it. But we have some good news that will bring true joy and lasting joy to people who will receive it into their lives for real. And this message is a message that, when it is received, brings joy to the people who receive it. And I'm very excited to share a story that will illustrate how the gospel can bring joy to your life and to mine. Real joy, and make us people of joy. And so let's look together at this story beginning at verse 26 in Acts chapter 8. I know we stand for the reading of the Word sometimes. And I know in the Old Testament they stood for hours in the rain and heard the Word of God read from. But this is a longer passage. I'm going to let you remain seated. Sometimes, if you're like me, my mind absorbs more when my bottom is on the cushion. So, Lord help, and here we go. Verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself? Or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way, what? Rejoicing that Philip was found at Azotus. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Father, I pray that you will give us a heart like Philip. Father, you'll also help us make sure that we have a new heart like the eunuch. Father, bless this message according to your Holy Spirit. Let him come down on this message, on this preacher, and upon your people today with great power. Power to revive, power to fill, power to save. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We need to take the joy of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the earth. We need to take the joy of Jesus Christ to those places, one person at a time sometimes, as the Lord leads. The joy of Jesus Christ is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's our business to find out if our neighbors, our friends, our family, our relatives, the people who love us, the people who hate us, know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Dwight L. Moody one time approached a man and asked him about his spiritual condition, and the man said, "It's none of your business." To which, of course, Dwight L. Moody said, "It is my business." And the man said very quickly, "Then you must be Dwight L. Moody." I guess he had a reputation. A reputation for caring about the souls of men. We need to be people who care enough to ask people if they're saved. Ask people if they know Jesus. But we also need to be a people who listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And if you have to ask me what that sounds like, you may have never heard His voice. I think the first time you hear His voice is when somebody tells you the gospel, the good news, that Jesus Christ died in your place to take your sins and nail them on a cross and bury them in a grave and rise victorious over your sins. And when you hear that and your heart is pricked and you realize you're a sinner and that without Christ you will spend eternity in hell, but Jesus loved you and died for you and paid your sin debt so that you would not have to, and your heart was pricked and you were drawn to Him. That is the voice of the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved until you feel, sense, hear the voice of the Holy Spirit drawing you to Himself. And then you have to choose to listen and respond, or to ignore and go on without Christ. And so today, we need to be a people who takes that joy into the world. And if you haven't received that joy yet, I pray that this might be the day. If you're lost and you're here and you're looking for the way that God brings you joy out of your life of sin and into a life of great joy. But it may also be here today that you're a member of this church and you've been coming to Sunday school and you've been attending worship service and you've been doing the stuff you're supposed to do, but your life is embittered and you are not a happy person, and it seems like life is just mundane to you, I want to tell you something. It's probably because you have not entered into the relationship the way God wants you to. And you, though you had the truth and you had the message and you've been committed to that, you're just living a life of religion. And so think about that as we go through. The first thing that we need to do in order to be able to bring joy to the world is to obey the Spirit's voice. To obey the Spirit's voice. Philip was a man of God. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We know that because he was called to be a deacon, and that was one of the qualifications of a deacon. He was a godly man, and when persecution came and Stephen was stoned and Paul began to pursue the church to death, he ran for his life and he went to Samaria and he began to witness. And as he witnessed, those people got saved. And in verse 8 of chapter 8, it says, and there was great, what? You didn't look. Joy. There was great joy in that city. Because Philip took the gospel to them. But you know, we can plan and have evangelistic crusades and people get saved. We can go visiting and go door to door and people get saved. We can witness as a lifestyle to whoever we run into. But sometimes the Spirit asks us to do things that doesn't seem to make sense to us. In this first verse that we read, it says the angel of the Lord spoke to him. I haven't had too many angels speak to me that I know of. Maybe they have, and I just didn't know it. But the Spirit of the Lord often speaks to us, and sometimes the Spirit will give you this sense that you need to do something, and often your mind will say, well, that's the craziest thing you ever heard. That couldn't be God. For example, the time when God said to Abraham, go to a place that I'll show you. Now, I'm wanting to know which direction, how far, how long, how much should I pack, who am I going to take? But he didn't tell him all that stuff. He said, go, I'll show you. And so he went. And of course, you know, he became the father of faith. The one who showed us the example of what faith looks like. He wasn't perfect, but he believed. He trusted God. He listened to the Spirit, and he went. Something similar happened to Philip this day. He was about God's business. He was doing the things that God had asked him to do. People were getting saved. And usually it's when we're doing what God asks us to do and we're in the will of God that we're more attuned to the Spirit of God. Now, God can speak to you when you're steeped in sin, but usually His voice comes more clearly when you're walking in His will and in His joy. And Philip heard this voice tell him, or this angel tell him, I don't know what form, I don't know if he appeared in some visible way or if he just heard the voice, but he heard the voice. He heard the voice say, go down, go south. Go to a desert place. Now, you and I are sitting here going, if I heard a voice tell me, go down, go south, go to a desert place, I'm going to go, I must have eaten too much of that chili. Because I'm having these weird thoughts. But Philip had been walking with the Holy Spirit. And he heard His voice and he responded and he did what He asked. He didn't know what was going to happen when he got there. He didn't know what was going to become of him. He didn't know what God had for him to do. But you see, on the other end of this deal, God was hunting. God is the hound of heaven. And when He sets His sights on you, no matter where you're from, no matter what language you speak, no matter the color of your skin, no matter how much money you have in the bank, God sets His sights on you, and He is the hound of heaven, and He will track you down wherever you are. Some people say we need to be seeker sensitive. Well, let me tell you who the seeker is. God is the seeker. And until He seeks you, you would never respond to Him. Yes, we do need to be sensitive to people out there who don't know the culture within the church. Yes, we do need to be sensitive to those things. But it is God who pursues us. And God set His sights on a man who was different. He was really different than your typical Jewish guy. Let's look at the description of this guy. Here he is in verse 27. And Philip did immediately. He rose and went just as he was told. And behold, here's what he saw. A man of Ethiopia. An eunuch. Okay. Already, this guy is different. He goes down to this desert place and he sees this guy on a chariot. Probably not by himself. I'm thinking if you've got a guy on a chariot, he's very wealthy, and that's obvious. He's probably not traveling alone. I mean, it wasn't safe. It wasn't smart. And this was a very smart man. He's probably got some entourage with him of people who to protect him. He's probably got some bodyguards. He's probably got others who are with him to help him to do whatever he has to do. And so he's a very prominent man. He's got others around him. He's an Ethiopian, so he's a black man. By the way, the black people heard the gospel before we did. I don't know if it says anything, but it tells me something. That God loves black people. Hallelujah. He does. That God is not colorblind. He created color. Color is beautiful. It's not a thing to look down on one another for. It's an illustration of God's beautiful hand of artwork. He's made us all beautiful. He's made us all different. He's made us to be one. And so God set His sights on this Ethiopian. He was a eunuch. That means he had been treated in a way that prevented him from having children. And that's what would happen when somebody worked in those days with royalty, especially female royalty, so they didn't have those same kind of desires that other men would have. And so he was a eunuch. Now, that might not mean much to you, but here's what it means. It means when he went to Jerusalem to worship, he couldn't get in the temple. He couldn't get close to the temple. He had to stay outside the temple because eunuchs weren't allowed in there. He couldn't even get as close as the other Gentiles who came through because he was a eunuch, so he was separated from the others. He was a man of great authority. He had great power. When he spoke, people listened. And he was a man who obviously was a great man. He was under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He had charge over all her money. He was a very rich man. And he had come to Jerusalem, why? To worship. He's returning and sitting in the chariot reading a scroll that he had purchased while he was in Jerusalem, which would have cost a small fortune in that day. Okay, we've heard this about the man. What does that tell us? Well, it tells us, and by the way, let me say this too. Most people think that he was a proselyte Jew. That is, he wasn't a Jew, but he was converted to Judaism and he became a Jew. He was allowed to be a Jew by going through certain rituals, one of which may have been baptism. Okay, everybody look up here. One of which may have been baptism. So he was a converted Jew. He was a proselyte Jew. And so that may be true. It may not be true. It may be that he was Jewish, because we have heard, and at least legend tells us, that in the days of Solomon, in the time of the Queen of Sheba, there was an entourage of Jewish people who went down into that area. And so there was a large Jewish community even later on in that area. So he may have been an actual Jew. Some even think that it was at that time that the Ark of the Covenant may have been taken down there and hidden, and that one day it will be brought back. But all that is just theory. And I say it to say there was a connection between those communities. So this man came like 500 miles to worship. Now listen, Ethiopia was a pagan place. He probably worshiped other stuff at one time. And he tried to find fulfillment in his religion, but he didn't find it there. And so he heard about Judaism, and he began to travel to Israel. He began to make his trek there to find out about this God that the Jews worship, this one God. And he heard the stories. They weren't philosophical people like the others he'd seen. They were a people who knew what they knew because God had revealed it to them, the God of heaven. And he believed that. And he received that. And he began to try to practice the things that the Jewish people practice. And so he put as much fervor in his life into trying to be Jewish as he did before, when he was trying to be whatever other religion he had tried. And let me tell you, he was an unhappy person. He was an unfulfilled person. Because he was a person searching for something to fill the emptiness in his life. He was a religious person. And brothers and sisters, most people sitting in the church pew are exactly like this man. They are religious. And they believe what the Bible says to be true. They have accepted it as a truth, and they stand firmly for it. But they have not experienced Jesus in such a way that He has transformed their life and made them new and given them joy and abundant life. That's what Jesus came to do. The thief comes not but for to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have, and that you might have it more abundantly. That's right. That's why He came. And if you don't have that, if you're still empty and you're struggling, you're trying to do more, you're thinking, if I come to church, if I come to a conservative church, if I come to a King James reading church, if I come to a church where they sing out of the hymn book, if I come to a church where they have services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I come every stinking time the doors are open, then I'll be close to God. But somehow, doing all that, trying all that, your life still seems empty inside. Why is there still this search for something more? A man had just come to him who had the answer. Here was the eunuch. Here was his life. Religious. close to God, but empty and without God. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." Literally, stick like glue to this chariot. Go stick yourself to this chariot. And Philip, what did he do? He ran. Now, I know there's a lot of Sunday school stories that say, here was this chariot running full speed with a horse, and Philip ran up beside him and heard what he was reading. There's a little problem with that story. That scroll is going to be flying in the wind, and the noise from the chariot is going to prevent Philip from hearing anything he said. One theologian said that there are two ways to get to Ethiopia from Jerusalem. And one was the more traveled way, the safer way. But if this very well-known, very influential man had gone that way, people would have stopped him, people would have talked to him, he wouldn't have got any peace. But he had just been to worship. He is trying to draw near to God. He spent a lot of money on a scroll of Isaiah to learn more and to try to get closer to God. Why did he go through the desert? He wanted to stop and reflect and try to learn what it takes to have fullness in his life. God knew that. God's the one who directed him there. And he's the same God who directed Philip there. And so they got there together, and Philip sticks like glue to this chariot. He runs to this chariot. By the way, I heard a story about D. James Kennedy. He was the one who came up with Evangelism Explosion. Actually, revamped it from others in the past. But he was going with this fellow to witness, and this fellow had done this all the time, and D. James Kennedy had never done this before. He was preaching about evangelism, but he'd never really done it. And so they went around talking to people, and they came to this trailer house. And they went to the door, and this man that D. James Kennedy was with said, We want to come and talk to you about the Lord in not so many words, in other words. But anyway, he asked him, and the man said, "I'm not interested." And he shut the door, and they got in their car. And he just sat there. D. James Kennedy thinks, "What are you doing?" "I just think the Lord wants me to go back." And he goes, "Are you nuts?" And so he goes back to the door. And he knocks on the door, and the man comes to the door, and he says, "I just want to know if we can share a little bit about your salvation." And the man says, "I told you no." And he slammed the door, and he went back to his car again. And they just sat there. And D. James Kennedy looks over at him, and he says, "I'm going to go back." And he says, "You're mad, man." And they got out of the car and they went back. And he said, "I just thought maybe you had changed your mind." And the guy said, "I'm glad you did. Come in." He shared the gospel with this man, and he got saved. Stuck like glue. That night he died. And the next day, they were going back to do follow-up. There were police cars and ambulance all around, and they came to ask what was going on, and the wife came out. She would not let them carry this man away until she spoke to the men who had witnessed to him the night before. And when they got there, she sent all these guys, ambulance, police, and everyone else out, and she set these men down with her husband lying dead in the floor. And she says, I want you to tell me what you told him, because he was a new man. And that moment with her husband lying right there on the floor, this woman came to know Jesus as her Savior. Sometimes we just shouldn't give up. Go and don't give up. Go without fear. Go without apology. And when the Lord leads you, you speak what God would have you speak. So we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Secondly, we need to listen to people. We need to listen to people before we open our mouth. It is true. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And we need to learn there are two of these and one of these for a reason. God wants us to listen. And sometimes we hear the Spirit of the Lord speak to us when we listen to other people. And so Philip ran to this chariot, and what did he hear? He heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" That's all he said. And the eunuch said, "How can I understand except some man should guide me?" Literally, some man should show me the way. That's our job right there. To show people the way. By the way, the early Christian church wasn't called Christian. It wasn't called Baptist. It was called the way. It was called the way because they knew the way. Jesus began it when He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." So He began. He said, "I need to know the way." And when He listened, He heard. And he desired Philip, that is, he called Philip. Literally, it's from the word parakletos. We get the word paraclete, which is the word used of the Holy Spirit, which means to call alongside. So this man called Philip up into the vehicle and said, "Get up here and sit with me. Be my guide." And he did. And he came and he sat in verse 32. He was reading this place in the Scripture in Isaiah. By the way, there are four servant songs in the book of Isaiah, and they all describe very plainly Jesus Christ and His crucifixion and life, crucifixion and resurrection. Beautiful painting in the Old Testament, so much so that many have called Isaiah the Gospel of Isaiah. And how God ordered and sovereignly controlled it was, that that's exactly where He was when He said, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before the shearers, so opened He not His mouth. In His humiliation, His judgment was taken away, and who shall declare His generation? For His life is taken from the earth." Philip goes, "I know what that's about. And I'm going to share Jesus." Look what it says. "And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Himself or of some other man?" All the Jewish people thought this was about Israel. This was about Israel, the man, and Israel, the nation. And that's who this is talking about. And even before this time, I think before Jesus, some of them thought it was Messiah. But after Jesus, all would deny that it was Messiah. But it was fairly obvious that it was. And so he listened and he heard and he began where that man was. And he led him to Jesus. See, if you don't listen, you don't know where they are. You don't know where they are. You try to lead them and tell them about Jesus, and they don't know. When evangelism began to be taken into the Orient, and they tried to tell them how to be saved, they just thought they were crazy. They had to take them all the way back. Not just share the message of the cross. They had to share the message of creation and sin. You see, people need to know why they need to be saved before you tell them they need to be saved. Or they'll say, well, I need to be saved. I'm good. They need to realize they're lost before they can be saved. But if you don't listen to them, you don't know where they are. You're just trying to get a notch on your belt. You're just trying to play religion. You're just trying to get closer to God by winning someone to Jesus and saying, look what I did. And that too is vanity. And so he listened and he began there. Look at verse 35. And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. This is the third point. He opened his mouth. You may be the only Jesus some people will ever see. And your life may be the only gospel some people will ever hear. But unless you open your mouth after you've listened and share the gospel with them, they will not get saved because of your love and your good life. They have to understand that Jesus died for them. They have to understand that He is their sin bearer. And that He died and He rose from the dead. And they don't just pray, Jesus, come into my heart. But they pray, oh God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus took my sin upon Himself and nailed it to the cross for me. And I receive by faith that wonderful gift, that payment, and I receive the life that You offer because of the price that You paid. See, if we don't understand the gospel, you don't get saved by asking Jesus into your heart. You get saved because of what Christ did for you. And when the Holy Spirit draws you and offers you that gift and you receive it, you receive it. You pray a prayer and you tell God, I'm lost and I want to be saved. I'm calling on the name of the Lord to save me. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we have to open our mouth. And the Bible says, preach. Here it's the word euangelion. We get the word evangelist from it. He was evangelizing. He was witnessing. He was sharing his faith. This isn't just for preachers. This is for everyone. Everyone. We are called to witness. Not only are we called to witness, but we're called to make disciples. In verses 36 through 38, we hear that he went down. They went down and they came into a certain water. He was stuck to that chariot. They were even headed on down to Ethiopia. And Philip was still with him. And they were going down the road and still talking as they went. And the eunuch said, look, here's some water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Now, I wonder why that guy wanted to be baptized. Well, it could be a few reasons. Number one, it could have been the Holy Spirit told him, you need to be baptized. Could have been that he had been a convert to Judaism and had been baptized to show his conversion from his former religion into this religion of Judaism. Many, many proselytes were baptized for that reason. Could have been that. But it was probably that Philip told him, when you're saved, you need to be baptized. He was discipling him. He was obeying the Great Commission that says, go ye therefore and make disciples of all ethnos, all ethnic groups, all languages, all races, everybody, and make disciples of them, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. He was obeying the Great Commission. And he may have just had a moment, but he did all he could in that moment to disciple this man. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." Now, all the scholars say this is probably not in the original version. It was a later edition because a lot of the manuscripts don't include this. Just because all the manuscripts don't have it in there and the older ones don't, does not mean that it wasn't in there. Sometimes it may, but this it doesn't always mean that it wasn't in there. And this same passage of Scripture is found, the teaching is found in other places, the one we read earlier in the Scripture reading in Romans 10:10. The word is near you, even your mouth. And so it's telling the same thing. If you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And so what did they do? He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And he went down and was baptized. Listen to this. People who get saved want to be baptized. Once they find out what it's all about, they want to be baptized. What are they doing? They're identifying with what has happened to them. What happened to them? They died with Christ and they've risen and they have new life now. And if Jesus says, "I want you to show the world that by being baptized," hot dog, let's go. They want to do it because look what my Father and my Savior has done for me. If that's what He wants, then I want to say, "I love you," by doing what He says. Jesus said, "If you love Me, you keep My commandments." Amen. We don't keep them for Him to love us. That's religion. But because He loved us and because of what He did for us, we keep His commandments. We follow Him in baptism. And it is a joy for us to do so. Verse 38, "And He commanded the chariot to stand still and He was baptized." So, we need to make disciples. And then fifthly, we need to witness and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. Verse 39, "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Isn't that cool? You know, I don't know. Some people say Philip disappeared. Boop. Like the rapture, same words used, by the way, harpazo. He was snatched away. Well, I think the Spirit called him away. I don't know how he got out of there. Maybe there was a taxi. A Jesus taxi. It picked him up and took him away. Maybe he just, you know, he ran there. He probably heard the Spirit and took off running. He probably was glad he didn't wind up in Ethiopia before they got all done with it. And so the Lord caught him away, and the eunuch never saw him again, but he was given enough that he could take the gospel to Ethiopia with him. And some say that the gospel was taken to Ethiopia. And he saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. This is what happens when people get saved. When people truly get saved. You know, I've watched people pray the prayer. And I've watched people pray the prayer, and you think, nothing happened there. I'm not sure that took. No emotion. Just the same face they had on when they left. And then I watched their life grow and change and flourish. Then I've seen others where they prayed the prayer, and they said, "Oh, I felt this burden lifted off." And I've seen others where they said, where they cried big crocodile tears. Have you ever heard that? I know they were saved because they cried big crocodile tears. Then they went right back to their partying, drinking, cussing, living like the devil lifestyle. Just because somebody had some an emotional experience does not mean they were saved. But listen, when Jesus comes into someone's life, He changes it for the better. And I'm not saying every day is happy and they go around stumping their toe and saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm glad I stumped my toe today." I'm not saying that's just foolishness. but they have joy in their life. And even when they lose loved ones, and even when people are sick, and even when bad things happen to them, they don't go, "God, it's not fair. I've been serving You, and look what happens to me." They go, "I'm so glad that I know Jesus." When Lily Delgado was having the pacemaker put in, she didn't want to have surgery. She didn't want to go through all that pain. But she wasn't worried about dying, because she knew that if she died, she opened her eyes before her Lord Jesus. There is no fear in death for the child of God. For the Holy Spirit comes into you and He assures your heart that you're a child of God. He makes you somehow know that you know that you know that if you die, you're going to be better off than you are now. And you're going to be with Jesus. Do you have that assurance? Do you have that joy? I remember standing outside a hospital, walking out up from visiting a church member and seeing this family just so distraught. And they had lost a loved one and they could not be comforted. But I have stood with the family of others who were sitting there with their loved one, having already gone to be with the Lord, singing hymns of praise. Yes, they had sorrow, and yes, they had grief, but they also had great joy. Do you have joy today? Jesus is offering it to you. If you're lost and you need Christ today, then you come to this altar when we have this song of invitation. And come to me, and I'll share with you what you need to do in order to be saved. It may be that you're a member of this church, you've been a member for years, but you've felt empty, you've been searching, you've tried to do more and do more and help more, and tried to make your life better by being more spiritual, and it's not working. You don't need religion. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Today is your day. Stop playing the game and get real with God. If you just want to come to this altar and pray, that'd be a great thing to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that You'll touch our hearts in whatever way You desire. People that need to be saved, people that need to be baptized who've already been saved, that they'll come and surrender their life to baptism and begin their walk as a disciple. Father, for those who have been playing church and trying to be religious and struggling to be as good as the other people that seem to have joy, I pray You'll fill the emptiness of their hearts with Jesus today. Father, let Your Spirit come down and move us without fear to the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Stand, please. What shall we sing?
Softly and tenderly.